I've been praying about this word today that I wouldn't lose anyone in it. Hallelujah. Sometimes we get distracted during sermons, you know that? And we get a little bit lost. Today you're going to have to zone in and stay with me. Okay? I'll try and not go too fast. But then when the Spirit of God moves, that just happens. Because the Spirit of God excites me. God bless you, sister. Being in the presence of Jesus still gets my juices flowing. I can't help it. I have been told in the past just to settle down a wee bit. And it felt like criticism. So I did. I tried to slow down. I tried to take my foot off the gas. 10 seconds in, the gas tank was full. And away we go. So there's no place I'd rather be. And I've got a word for you today. I think it's a word that's going to need some listening ears and some attention from your heart today. We have been, if you've not been with us, we have been going through some elements of the story of the prodigal son from Luke chapter 15. And I want to just tie this up today the best I possibly can. So tune in, because the Spirit of God is going to demand a response from some today. I believe this is life-changing stuff. I do. I believe what we've addressed already could be pivotal in the way your life goes from these days onwards. So Luke 15:22, I want to mention the three elements again that are given back to the prodigal son. The father said to his servants, "Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet." So in week one, we talked about the robe of righteousness. Have you got it on? We talked about the ring of authority. Do you understand that authority? And we're going to talk this week about the shoes of sonship. Did you catch that? The shoes of sonship. I am busting up here already. Just by saying that. Knowing my place in the family of God. We're going to talk about what the shoes represent in the Bible. Now understand this, for those taking notes. Shoes in the Word of God represent rights. Okay? They represent rights. So we're going to talk about the shoes of sonship. The father, look at this closely in the prodigal son. I'm sure you all know this stuff already. I'm just bringing it back to your attention today. The son, the father was given the prodigal son rights back as the son. How wonderful. How wonderful is the father? The son wanted to tell dad, "I don't deserve the rights of a son. Just make me like one of your hired servants." But the father's saying, "Hold it, no son. You still have the rights as my boy. As my son." There's a famous story, and ladies, don't get too excited, way back in the Bible from the book of Ruth. And it is the romance of romances. Even I like this romance. Of Boaz and Ruth. And we know that Boaz wants to marry the widow Ruth. We also understand there's some very, very complicated legal issues that are at play in this particular story to do with selling lands and to protect and provide for the widows. We know there's a kinsman that's nearer in line with the rights to do this, to take this lady on, the kinsman redeemer. So Boaz approaches him, and although he wants the land, he doesn't want the responsibility of the young widow. Are you there? And what does he do? He takes off his sandals. Going to come to you later on. Ruth chapter 4 verse 7 legalistically says, "Now in earlier times in Israel, for the redemption and transfer of property become final, one party took off his sandal and gave it to the other. This was the method of legalizing transactions in Israel." Think upon this. Think upon this today. Jesus Christ has redeemed us and exchanged our sin for his righteousness. Anybody there? And we spoke about that in week one, the robe of righteousness. But now this custom is to confirm redeeming and exchanging. One man took off his sandal and gave it to the other man as a confirmation. What is the confirmation? What is it that's taken place here in this remarkable story? It is a confirmation of that he was giving up his right, that he had the right to marry Ruth, but he was giving up that right. Praise God. And the way you confirmed that you were giving up your right was that you took off your sandals or you took off your shoes. This is the law of Deuteronomy chapter 25. Listen to this. This would be if a man dies and he doesn't have an heir, then the brother of that man is to marry the widow, so that she would then have the heir. But what if that man doesn't want to marry her? So this is Deuteronomy chapter 25 and verse 7. But if the man does not want to take his brother's wife, then let his brother's wife go up to the gate to the elders and say, "My husband's brother refuses to raise up a name to his brother in Israel. He will not perform the duty of my husband's brother." Read on. "However, if a man does not want to marry his brother's wife, she shall go to the elders of the town gate and say, 'Hey, my husband's brother refuses to carry on his brother's name in Israel. He will not fulfill the duty of a brother-in-law to me.' Then the elders of the town shall summon him and talk to him. And if he persists in saying, 'I do not want to marry her,' his brother's widow shall go up to him in the presence of the elders, take off one of his sandals, spit in his face." Come on, it's good. Some of you like to do that to your husbands at times. Not. This is what is done to the man who will not build up his brother's family line. This man shall be known in Israel as the family of the unsandaled. Have you saw that before? The family of the unsandaled. If taking off your shoes means giving up your rights, let me remind you of a little conversation Moses had with God at a burning bush. You remember that story? And what's the first thing that God said to him? "Take off your shoes. This is holy ground that you're standing on." I don't know if you've seen this ever before, the clarity of that conversation. The clarity of that conversation is God talking to Moses and basically saying, "Moses, you want to talk to me? You want to talk to me? You give up all your rights. You want to have a conversation with Almighty God? You give up all your rights. You come to me right now with no rights. You give it all up, Moses, if you want to talk to me." This is the conversation that's taking place. The same thing happens to Joshua. When they go into the promised land, they're about to take Jericho, the very first city. He goes up on a hill and he sees this guy with a sword. Listen to Joshua chapter 5 verse 13. "Now when Joshua was near Jericho, he looked up and saw a man standing in front of him with a drawn sword in his hand. Joshua went up and asked, 'Are you for us or are you for our enemies?' 'Neither,' he replied, 'but as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come.' Then Joshua fell down, face down to the ground in reverence and asked him, 'What message does my Lord have for his servant?' The commander of the Lord's army replied, 'Take off your sandals, for the place you are standing is holy.' And Joshua did so." Here's what he said. He said, "I am the commander of the army. Will you give up your rights? I'm the commander. Will you give up your rights?" See, there was no way Israel could have defeated Jericho. But it then says, the Lord said to him, and we know who the Lord is. He is the commander of the army of Israel right now. He's saying to Joshua, "Joshua, I'm not here to take sides. Look at the word of God. I'm here to take over. I'm not here to take sides. I'm here to take over the whole deal, to take over everything that's going on. I'm not here to get on your side, Joshua. I'm here to see if you'll get on my side. Are you hearing this? I'm not here to serve in your army. That's not why I'm here. Why? Because I'm the commander. I am the commander-in-chief. Now, you can serve my army or not, but if you're going to serve in my army, you give up all your rights and you take your shoes off. Praise God. There's humility involved in all of this as a child of God. See, before we talk about what putting the shoes back on represents for the prodigal son, what that fully means, we've got to understand what this represents first of all. The shoes represented rights. And guys, before we move on to the next place of our journey in the kingdom of God, or we do great exploits for the living God, we're going to have to humble ourselves, take off our shoes, give up our rights, and follow Him. Praise God. So take your shoes off. I'm not saying that literally right now. We might get there. Take your shoes off. Put your shoes back on. Take your shoes off first. That's the first sign. Put your shoes back on. I'm talking about the rights of sonship here. We're talking about the rights of sonship. This is not about what I can do on my own or what you can do on your own. This is not what you or I have earned. It's not how smart you are. This is not about how great a person you are or you think you can be. But it's the rights of being a son or daughter of God. Because Moses and Joshua had to put their shoes back on. And when they did so, it was at that point they began to lead the people of Israel properly. But they had to take their shoes off first. They had to yield their rights to God. They had to surrender everything to God and withhold nothing. He was looking for 100% commitment from His followers who would get radical and get excited about the call of God upon their lives. But He wanted, first of all, to see men and women, sons and daughters, surrender everything to Him, yield all the rights to Him before He could say, "That's the one. She's the one. He's the one that will lead the army. They're the ones that will take them over the Jordan. They're the ones that will take them into the promised lands. They're the ones that will take cities and tear them down and rebuild cities. They're the ones who have taken off their shoes, submitted their rights to me, and are following me with all their heart, with all their soul, and with all their mind." I wonder where we are in that journey. But from that moment on, they were now leading the people of Israel under the wisdom, understanding, and guidance of God Himself. Things changed dramatically for them when they surrendered everything. You see, church, today, God has something for every single one of us to do. Something for every single one of us to do, and today He will give you rights as a son, or He will give you rights as a daughter to do those things. Let's go back to the story of the prodigal son in Luke chapter 15. Jesus, in parables, we understand what they are, but within these parables, Jesus embedded hardcore truth. Beautiful, hardcore, living truth, so we could begin to comprehend and understand what truth for you and I as children of God actually looks like. Now remember, there's not one son. There's two sons. Remember that. We forget that sometimes. He didn't put the other son in the parable as an accident. He's there for a reason. His part in the story is a major part in the story of the prodigal son. Now remember, the father gives the prodigal what? A robe, a ring, and shoes, and then throws a party for him. And we know in the Bible, it says the other son won't come to the party. Is that right? He won't go to the party. Let's read on in verses 25 through 29. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. He called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. Your brother has come, he replied. And your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him safe and sound back in the fold. The older brother, look at this, became angry, refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, look, all these years I have been slaving for you. I've never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. Now understand this. First of all, that's incorrect information from the son. Because every single one of us, including the son that stayed at home and everybody in this room for that matter, we're all sinners and we all fall short. We all come up short. He wasn't by any means the perfect son either. We could view it that way. We know today, do we not, dearly beloved, there's only one perfect son. His name happens to be Jesus. He's the perfect son. So we know that's kind of incorrect information. Then the other thing that he says is, you never gave me a goat. You never did that for me. That's also fairly incorrect information coming from the son. You go back to the beginning and it says the father divided for both sons his inheritance. There was much gained from both of these sons. Let's read on verse 30. But when this son of yours, who has squandered your property with prostitutes, come home, you kill the fattened calf for him. Isn't it wonderful? My son, the father says, you are always with me. And everything that I have is yours. But we had to celebrate. We had to be glad. Because this brother of yours that was dead is alive again. He was lost and he is found. Let me just sum up the rights of sons and daughters. The rights of sons and daughters according to Scripture, it is the presence and it is the provision of God. It's wonderful. It is the presence, it is the provision of God. And everything we could look through the Scriptures to find out about shoes will be summed up in what the Father said to him, you are always with me. You have me. And all that I have is yours. All that I have is yours. Now it's been asked many times, why does Jesus even bring the older son into this? The truth of the matter is, Jesus tells three parables. He tells the parable of the lost coin. We know it. A woman had 10 coins. She lost one. She searched the house diligently and then she found it. And then what did she do? She called all her friends together and had a party. And he says there was joy in heaven when one sinner repents. Then he tells about a lost sheep. A shepherd has 100 sheep. He loses one. He leaves 99. He goes and finds that other sheep. He puts it round his shoulders, brings it back, and yet again, he calls all his friends together to have a party. And he says, there is joy in heaven when one sinner repents. Wonderful. Wonderful stories. Then he tells about the prodigal son. And the father throws a party for him. But why does he even tell us about the older son? Well, you go back to why he told this parable in the very first place. And the Lord, I believe by the Spirit of God, wants some of us really to get hold of this and to catch this. Understand, we are sons, not servants. We are sons. We're wearing the shoes of sonship in the presence of God. Learn that today. But why again does he even tell us this? Why does Jesus even share this particular parable? Well, the answer, maybe, is in Luke chapter 15, verse 1. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathered around to hear Jesus. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, listen, this man welcomes sinners. This man even eats with them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, that you receive sinners. Praise God that He does. And many of you were once lost and dead in trespasses in sin. Three or four. Good. Very spiritual church we have today. It's good He receives sinners. I wouldn't be standing here today if He hadn't received this one. But He did. Took me some time to get there, but I got there. But they're actually mad about this. The spiritual people are raging. They are fuming with Jesus about what He is doing. He welcomes sinners. Hey, He doesn't only welcome them. He sits down. He sits at a table with them. Jesus is eating with these people. Oh, I'm glad I've ate with them. I'm glad I've supped with them. I'm glad today I still enjoy His presence more and more than ever before. So Jesus spoke this parable to them saying, why is He doing it? And He actually is telling three parables by truth, are actually only one parable according to the Bible. It's to show us how much the Father loves to rescue. But not only rescue, how much He then loves to restore, to put back together. And Jesus, He's showing us it is all by grace. All of it's by grace. If you look through the parables, actually, the deep, deep teaching of the parables is trying to get you and I to understand the grace of God. Sometimes we still only see the works. It's never going to be by works. Never going to work out that way. So many parables. He tried to explain to those who had ears to hear. It's not works. It never will be by works. Everything we're teaching you is about My grace. And My grace is sufficient for you. You see, Jesus. Hallelujah. I nearly went there. Jesus came to earth. Amen. Are you glad He came? Praise God. Jesus came to earth, and He really came to earth to hang out with sinners. A dirty, low-down, rotten bunch of sinners. And don't pretend you weren't one. Don't pretend. I was. The purpose He came, the philosophers, the scholars, the Pharisees, the men of etiquette, the men with eloquent words and eloquent prayers, the ones who were supposed to comprehend why He came, completely missed it. They missed His purpose. They missed why He had came, and they are mad. I'm not talking a little mad. They are furious with Jesus. Why? Because they felt they had earned a relationship with God. Are you hearing that? They felt they had earned a relationship with God by works, by deeds, by things. And they felt the sinners hadn't earned it. Wow. The older son, let's go with this for a minute or two. The older son, the way I see this right now, is going to represent the Pharisees right here. And the prodigal son is going to represent the sinners. Because it says the Pharisees were mad because this man receives sinners and eats with them. And then he says, now let me tell you about my dad. Let me tell you how my daddy operates. Let me tell you how father got that. Even the children. The father. I love that. I love when the pace slows down and he just says, can I tell you about Abba? Because that's what you need to know about. See, my dad's heart beats for you. My dad's heart races for you every day. Daddy sits at the top of the hill in his chair, watching, roaming the land, looking for the one. Just the one. Because heaven comes alive when one sinner repents and comes back to God. That's my dad. And you get the sense when Jesus is talking, he is so proud of Father and how Father operates. And the tragedy is the disdain and discouragement and disappointment with the people who should have known. The ones should have known better who the Messiah was, who Jesus was. He says, listen, my dad gets really excited when one sinner comes home. I mean, he is up out the throne. He is doing some dancing just for that one sinner. And when dad gets out the chair in heaven, when that one sinner gets home, the choir stands up. And just for that one sinner, there's an anthem sound in heaven. Just for the one, the sheep, the coin, the son. Just for the one, heaven is having a party when that boy comes home, when that one returns to the fold. And the older brother, look at it again, who always had the father and his inheritance, gets mad because he gives attention to the sinner, the son that came home. Now in Matthew chapter 20, I'm nearly finished, there's a parable of the laborers in the vineyard. Look at this again. They all receive a day's wage, even though many join in later in the day. Hello? So those who get hired first are mad. They can't bear the inequality, even though they're paid exactly what they are promised by the master. This is exactly the way the Pharisees feel. But hey, we've worked harder. We prayed more. We've stood out. We've did this. We've did that. We've worked harder. And Jesus is saying, but you get the same thing. You get the same thing. Forgiveness for all your sins and eternity in heaven. You get the same thing as the guy who comes in at the 11th hour, but they felt they hadn't earned it. It's not by works. It's by grace. It's not by works, it's by grace. Let's go back to where we started in Luke chapter 15, verse 17. Talking the prodigal son. A hired servant, we know, is an employee. So when he gets his salary, listen to this, he's earned it. He's worked for it. He's got it. But that's not what you and I are, guys. We are not hired servants. Are you hearing this? We are not hired servants. We don't earn it with Jesus. That's not how it works. Today, we call ourselves sons of God and daughters of God. And it's a free gift given directly from Father God himself. That's the difference. And that's what the Pharisees could not get their heads round. They couldn't stand it. It was beating them up inside. They could not handle it with Jesus that these sinners haven't actually earned any of this. What have they done to deserve this? That's what they were telling him. And Jesus, parable after parable, said to them, no, they haven't earned it. But listen, neither of you. Neither have you. And today, if you feel, hear this. Let's be careful. If you feel somehow like you have earned your right relationship with God, you will want others to earn it the same way. Listen to this. And if you do that, you will look at others that don't live up to the standard of righteousness, and you'll be judgmental and you'll become critical of those people. That's the spirit of the Pharisee. And it's a work-based mentality. That's what that is. So my closing headline and news for you today is this. See, Father, He loves you whether you like it or not. Did you hear that? He loves you whether you like it or not. God loves you. It's by His grace. It's not by works. It's a gift. It cannot be earned. And I want to encourage someone in here today, if I can, to lay down all of your rights. Would you stand with me this morning? Just close your eyes where you are and take in these last few words. I believe someone needs to lay down some of their rights, to cast all your care on Jesus. Why? Because He cares for you. The way you're living right now, so I'm talking to you now by the Spirit of God. And this is just the Spirit, so don't take this as a condemning word. Because the Lord's been saying some are not living the way that God wants them to live. And you're withholding from God. You haven't given up. You haven't yielded everything, your rights, completely to Him. Some of you've got thoughts. They're negative thoughts. And today, by the grace of God, you can give those up to the Messiah, to the Master. You can take off your shoe and give up those rights, your emotions. I'll tell you why, because the way I see it, Jesus is the only one that can carry that stuff. To turn things back for your good. To turn which has been meant for evil in your life for good. Church, we're sons and daughters of the living God. We're not hired servants. Jesus has given us His grace freely. Therefore, we give grace to others around us freely. So here's where we're at. As we worship God, now listen to this. I don't think we are nutters in here. I think we're very, very sensible. But I think we're Spirit-led. I know we're Spirit-led. And from time to time, the Spirit of God will say certain things to me that I don't really want to say because it sounds ridiculous. Glory to God. But there's something going on, and this word has been for some people today. Not for all people, for some. And you know that you are still withholding from God. You know you've not yet given Him your all in all. And I had a word deposited earlier about business. This doesn't often happen this way for me. The Lord is looking for someone or somebodies who are in business to give up your rights completely to God. And it's not that you've been unethical in any way in your business life. I don't believe that's the matter. I believe God wants to bring a release in your business. But to get that release, you're going to have to stand at this altar and take your shoes off. That's the deal. Or else it's a deal breaker. Others in your family life, I've got a word about this, just that can... A little bit of a controlling nature regarding your family. You're not trusting God completely in your family. God wants you to take your shoes off and give all your rights to Him. Got one more, and it's regarding a wrong relationship. I don't know who I'm talking to. I'm just being obedient. You're in a relationship and you kind of know it's not right, but you're kind of staying in it. It's not a marital thing, by the way. And God wants you to trust Him with your relationships. He's asking you to take your shoes off. The other part of this whole story is the compromised life. Will you give up your rights and stop compromising with this world? The prodigal son compromised and more, but came to his senses. And because of that, the father could put new shoes, new sandals, and give him a new purpose in life. So, Father, by the power of God today, if these words are for people in this congregation, and I am talking about one or two need to literally come here and put your shoes on the altar. I'm not being symbolic right now. I'm being literal. It's a sign of surrender. And if you really want to press into all that God has for you, you need to stop worrying about what people think about you. Listen to me. We only have to worry about what God thinks about us. So as we worship God in this song, and I'm done now, after this, we're going to close up. But please do not miss a God-consecrated opportunity. Please do not, because of pride, because of fear, yield to God today. And I don't care whether you're in leadership here or whether you're in the door for the first time. The altar's the altar. It's the place of sacrifice. It's the place where we meet with God. So, Lord, Holy Spirit, have your way. In Jesus' name, amen.